Right now, though, we are going to the phones where we are joined. Tom Phillips,
he is the author of Ignite Your Passion for Jesus. He's worked with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and they've had a 24/7 prayer line open during this time of coronavirus, is allowing people to call in, and they've seen many people come to Christ, faith in Christ through this. And Tom is excited because he believes there's revival waiting around the corner in America. Tom, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Oh, Tommy, thank you. It's a delight to be with you all.
Well, we're glad to have you with us. And first of all, tell us about the response that you guys have gotten to the 24/7 prayer line. It's exciting to hear the impact that that's having.
It is. It's amazing. Actually, a businessman called us a few months ago and said, I've got some funds. I'd like to get the gospel out to America during this time of crisis. How about using radio spots? And so Franklin, of course, did those spots. In the midst of that, we put in the hospital across from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, Fifth Avenue, Central Park, and Mobile Hospital, as well as one in Milan, Italy, and then set up this 24/7 prayer line. We had a small prayer line. It was virtually something like you would use in a doctor's office, and we expanded far beyond its software capabilities and trained 1,600 chaplains from around the nation to help us. So we've had 127,000 people call in, and we've actually counseled 95,000 of those. Some have gone to voicemail. Some were just hang-ups, about 25%, especially when you're on CNN, CBS, and they're just checking to see if you're for real. We've had some vile calls, vulgar calls even, and some of those we've led to Christ. We've had 5,700 decisions for Jesus, 3,200 of those first time, and we put on 6,270 60-second spots. And Franklin has done an amazing job of quickly getting the gospel out in 60 seconds. We had one lady who called and said, excuse me, wrong number. I was calling the IRS for more information. And a person said, well, while you're on the call, do you need help? She said, I do. My boyfriend died 2 weeks ago, and I'm desperate. And she came to Christ. We had another man who called in, filthy language, and our male counselor just listened. Let him bleed off, and are you hurting, sir? Are you hurting? And he said, I am. He said, do you want to talk about who Jesus is and God's love for you? And he said, actually, I do. And he came to Christ. That's what God's been doing.
That's amazing. And I do think, you know, during this time, I think part of what God is doing in this time is trying to wake people up and wake people up to him and call people back to him. And it's certainly having an impact.
Well, actually, we've gotten a report from one of the tribes in Louisiana, Native American, that they have come together now for well over 200 days. They put up a large tent on their reservation with up to six tribes coming in, and Native American leaders have risen up in prayer to intercede for the nation. And that's never happened before, over 200 days of that occurring consistently with people in there praying. And only God could do that in this day and time. But it is a time when spiritual revival is desperately needed. And literally, among young people today, we see God moving in ways we've never seen. So the subtitle of the book you mentioned, Ignite Your Passion for Jesus, is actually your guide to experience personal revival. Revival just means to bring back to life that which is comatose, dead, or asleep. So an awakening occurs first in God's kids, the church, and then the real joy of walking with the Lord then draws the unsaved or uncommitted, because we're all created by the Creator God. And then people look at the church and they don't see intolerance or bigotry. They see love and they say, I want that. We're really seeing the early days of this. We're not looking forward to it. We're actually in it. And from the lighthouse of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, I actually see it. People come to us by phone, by letter, or personally and say, this is what God's doing. This is what God's doing. This is what God's doing. We organize evangelistic campaigns and had the privilege of organizing nations even, but this is not us. This is God. God is listening to the cries of his kids, and he's reaching down to us.
And in your book, you give some practical steps of how we can reignite our relationship with Christ. And I think you're right. I mean, revival always begins with the church and with the people of God. So what are some of those practical steps that we can take? Maybe somebody's out there listening saying, you know what, I did let my, you know, walk with Christ grow a little stale, but everything that's happened is leading me to want to get back and reignite that relationship. So what are some practical steps that you give to folks to reignite that relationship with Jesus?
Well, thank you, Tommy. Let me start by just saying a revival is not abnormal. A revival is a work of God's Spirit among his own people. What we call revival is simply New Testament Christianity the believers getting back to normal. All of us have the stimuli of the world in us. All of us sin. All of us need to be convicted to see as God sees. All of us, it's God's kids, need to confess, agree with God. And then, of course, we repent, turn not from sin only, but we also turn to Jesus. So those practical steps that we outline in this book, and it's really a guidebook, 12 lessons broken into 5 15-minute segments so a person can go through it daily. But the time is now. We do see God at work. Joel 2 and Acts 2 says, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit. We are seeing that. And the question is, how do I have a lifestyle of renewed revival? Young people would say, how do I reset my computer? Well, actually, it begins in brokenness. It begins in humility. It begins on our knees. I saw a picture from Venezuela recently in a secular news article where a young woman was kneeling at the altar of a church with her little child. And in the secular news article at the top, the headline read, "When the economy collapses, people fall on their knees before God." And that's the kind of brokenness that comes when I realize I'm a sinner, or I realize I'm desperate, or I realize my marriage is in trouble, or I realize I've not been living the life God wants me to. And out of that brokenness, conviction, confession, repentance, comes joy. And that joy is so effervescent, it begins to draw others, but it also, in us, gives us a foundation for obedience. And these are the topics in the book. And that obedience and joy out of brokenness develops prayer, which is nothing but communication with God, which then develops a relationship with the Lord. And all of these are little 15-minute segments over 5 days. Then we can really know Jesus. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might and end up basically in heaven. That's what he was talking about, not abundant life here and, of course, eternal life there. And then revival lifts up your gifts. What has God called you to do? And you don't do it a desire to just be responsible. You do it out of a desire to be obedient to God. And then that gives an explosion to telling others about Jesus. When you have joy, when you have peace, when you have grace, when you realize it's Jesus and you see your friends, you just say, "Hey, man, Hey, friend, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me." And we are in a key time, a Kairos moment time in history when a window is open and God is literally seeking those who will go through the window. Billy Graham prayed, we have him on video, 1949. He said, "I am praying for an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival that will sweep America from coast to coast." When he died, and he told us, "I only have energy for one thing, and that's prayer. And I'm praying for an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival that will sweep America from coast to coast." And we had him on video saying the same thing when he was 93 years old. So revival is underway, and it's amazing with the young people of the world, not just our nation, that they are moving out in ways we haven't seen. And in Joel 2 and Acts 2, the Bible says very clearly, "I'll pour out my spirit." It will be your young people who will be the proclaimers. It will be the young people who are the visionaries, and it will be the older people like myself who are the dreamers, and the dreams that we have are to support the young people in their zest. So the Bible says in Psalm 85, "God, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" So practically the lifestyle is brokenness, joy, obedience, prayer, knowing him, finding your gifts, functioning for him, an explosion of evangelism in this key time, and then Jesus, through the hearts of individuals, can revive a desperate nation.
And we know, too, that when revival occurs, that the adversary is going to raise up in opposition. And in fact, I know you guys experienced some of that in New York City. There was some opposition to the hospital there based on some false accusations and things. So, but we really shouldn't be surprised that the adversary is going to come against that. That's actually, I think, a good sign. It means the church is moving and he's worried.
Right. And in your personal witness, every Christian who has been on the street, in their school, their college, with their unsaved, uncommitted, unknowing friends, the person who often yells the loudest back at you is the one who needs God the most. And so when we see an adversarial person, we see a person hurting and a person in need and a person to be prayed for, we don't take it personally. This is about them having their own salvation. Henry Blackaby said it very well. If society as a whole seems to be getting darker and darker, it's not the problem with the darkness. The darkness is just acting out its nature. But it is that the light no longer dispels the darkness and the salt no longer preserves. It's time for the light to say, if things are darker, the problem is with us. So when we see people in need, the pulpits of America in some ways have failed because we've been in four walls so long we haven't addressed the culture, and the culture has individuals in it who are hurting. And our job, in spite of the way they treat us, is to love them. And we never once, in Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's team, and Mr. Graham's team in Crusades, we've never discriminated racially, gender-wise, your beliefs, your religion. We function everywhere. We even had a hospital like that in northern Iraq about 2 years ago through the United Nations request. And we even treated ISIS troops. Our job is to share God's love, for God is love, and light always dispels darkness. It's not a battle between light and darkness. Darkness just goes away when light shines. So we receive that, and the reason they came against us is because we have to be able to work together, and we have a document that's biblical, and we believe in these things, and therefore we know we won't have conflict with the team working in a pressurized condition. And one of those is simply to say, I believe in marriage,
right,
biblically, and here are the verses, and that's what they came against because it's an offense to them. But we love them. God loves them, and he wants them to know his son and walk with his son.
Well, and when we live out God's purposes and love in the face of that, I think it shines even more. You know, people being like, well, all you're getting is criticized, and yet still here you are treating people, caring for people, loving people. What leads you to do that? You know, it does raise that question in people's minds and opens them to the gospel.
That hospital treated over 300 coronavirus patients, and Mount Sinai asked us to come and put it in, and then they even asked us to take one of their lobbies and break it into component little rooms and put another portion of our hospital in there. And so whenever this was coming against us, one of the heads of that hospital happened to have the gay lifestyle, and he said, hey, we're not criticizing these people. They've come here to save lives. And that's what Jesus is. He's the lifesaver. And so we were just reflecting Jesus, which is our calling.
We're talking with Tom Phillips. The book he's written is Ignite Your Passion for Jesus, and he's with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Tom, if folks want to get a hold of the book, Ignite Your Passion for Jesus, let them know how to do that. And once again, and also, if you would give them the phone number for the prayer line as well.
The book, you can go to Amazon, of course, pick it up, or you can go to JesusNowAwakening.com, JesusNowAwakening.com, and see about other revival books as well as our podcast. And the phone number, if you want someone to pray with you, or if you want to pray with someone, 888-388-2683, 888-388-2683. The other night I was on the line, and a lady called, and she said, I called to pray for you. She said, I lived through Katrina, and it was your team that came into my home and helped me. It was your team that came and prayed for me and gave me a Bible, and I just want to call and pray for you. Isn't that wonderful?
Hey, Tom, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. It's been great having you.
Thank you, Tommy. God bless.